Hello, everybody. This is your host, K Wood the Genius. I just want to say that we record this episode during the times of a pandemic. So you might hear me cut out several times. It might even sound pretty robotic because me and Haley are abiding a little bit by the guidelines of the CDC and doing social distancing. So we are recording the podcast in two different areas. But with that said, I hope it is still entertaining, and I hope you do love the episode, and I hope you do rate, review, listen, follow the social medias, Dude Where's My Killer on Instagram, also our Facebook group, Dude Where's My Killer as well. Also, just let us know how you feel about the episode, and this is the end of our series on the SLA. So with that said, enjoy the episode. The ghost of Donald DeFries.
No!
What did to tell everybody? Doing quarantine, doing this record high of unemployment, if you need extra money, parking meters are always easy to steal!
Get out of here, Donald DeFries!
Oh, God. Oh, Haley, I don't know what happened. I was just gone for a little while.
Kip, you were taken over by the ghost of Donald DeFries?
Oh my God. Oh my God. We have to end this now. We have to end this podcast now.
Yeah, Donald DeFries is like, quit talking about me.
So, we're about to end this series because I am scared I'm going to get captured by Donald DeFries and do the dumbest stuff in American history. So this is Dude Where's My Killer. I'm your host, Kay with the Genius.
And I'm Haley Rigsby.
Haley J. Rigsby, the Queen of Improv.
Yes.
And the J stands for Jenkins.
And the Jenkins stands for excellence.
Oh. Well, everybody, I know y'all was wondering what happened last week. I had to take me a nice little detour back home for a while.
You wanted to go see your mama for Mama's Day.
for Mother's Day. I decided to go see my mom for Mother's Day. So I took a little week off from really just doing some research. God, we lost so many lives for no reason at all in this series. Just for no reason. I mean, some cool stuff came out of this, but it's just nothing really came of excellence with this. There was nothing successful from their game plan that happened from this.
No.
Oh my god. So this is Dude, Where's My Killer? Again, rate and review us. Give us 5 stars. Tell us that you like us.
Let us know you love us.
Let us know you love us. You don't gotta tell us too much. Just say, hey, you're cute. You
know? Hey. Hey. I like you.
Say, you know, do the like little middle school thing. Say, date me or not. Or whatever. What was it in middle school you say? Something like that.
I don't think it was date me or nah. Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes, no, maybe. I think
you know something terrible about that?
What up, hippie?
When I was in middle school, I got a shirt from Limited 2 that said, like, do you like me? Yes, no, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to know what this asshole Chris Sidnor said?
I like that you put his name out there for the world to know.
Oh, yeah. I don't care. He was an ass.
What'd he say?
Hell no.
Well, you know what? Chris Sidnor, you might be a redneck.
I think he definitely was, but he also was an asshole.
I can say that because Haley lives in Fairview, Tennessee. If you need to look, you need to look up Fairview, Tennessee. Google it up. You can see why I say it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any other stats about him. He lived in Fairview, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But to go on with that, let's. Oh my God, are you ready to finish this series?
I'm ready to take it to the finish line.
Ready to get to the finish line. I'm ready to go ahead and get to the finish line because we got some more stuff to cover here.
We do.
These next few episodes are going to be really, really good, by the way.
I've been
really researching some stuff after this. So we get into a person that I've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember her, but Katherine Solia.
Okay.
So, if you remember where we left off last, the SLA was now pretty much over with.
Yeah.
Now all we have is the Harrisons and Patty Hearst.
Yeah. And she's still with the Harrisons, right?
She's still with the Harrises.
Harrises. Oopsie.
And they added another fugitive to their roster because why not add another fugitive to their roster?
Make it a party.
Wendy Yosemara.
Okay.
So they had a new fugitive to their party. They went to Scranton, Pennsylvania, where they stayed in a farmhouse. We're going to say stayed in Dwight Schrute's farmhouse.
Yep. Schrute Farms.
Schrute Farms. They eventually got kicked out of the farmhouse because they would not sell their story to the person that was holding them in that farmhouse, a newspaper writer.
Ooh. Or, in an alternative universe, they wanted to eat something other than beets.
So now they're back in California. But the thing is that, let's just say that Mo called the FBI on them.
Okay, makes sense.
But Mo did not know they wasn't at the farmhouse. So when the FBI went to the farmhouse, the Harrises and Wendy Yosemara and Patty Hearst were all gone.
They gone.
But they did get evidence, finally, of that SLA was there. Because, interesting enough, on one night, Wendy had seen a spider. She said she saw a spider, but she could not figure out where the spider had went. But when she lifted up the bed mattress, she saw there was a hole underneath the bed mattress and felt the spider had went into the hole.
Okay.
So she then stuffed a newspaper article in the hole of the bed mattress to make sure the spider would not come back out.
Okay.
While she was sleeping. Well,
yeah, you'd rather have the spider in your mattress. That's comforting.
Well, it turns out the FBI flipped that bed mattress over, saw that newspaper article, tested it, and found Wendy's hand fingerprints all over it.
Ooh, Wendy!
So that is the first evidence that they kind of have of where the SLA might be hiding at.
Uh-oh.
So now back in California, where all things are nice, we're going to start off with now Catherine Solia.
Mm-hmm.
She's born January 16th, 1947, in Fargo, North Dakota.
Okay.
But she grows up mostly in Palmdale, California.
Okay. Very not like Fargo whatsoever.
No. She is born to Norwegian-American parents. Her mom, Elsie Solia, was a high school English teacher. And her dad, Martin Solia, was a coach.
Okay.
So her life was pretty normal. She graduated from the University of California, Santa Barbara, and then moved to Berkeley, California with her boyfriend at the time, James Kilgore.
Okay.
She started to take up acting, where she would meet Angela Atwood. And they would become good friends as they both won lead roles in a play.
Ooh.
Now, Angela Atwood tried to get Catherine into the SLA, but they wouldn't have her in there. They turned her down. So instead, she just had to then follow them. Kind of just for the sideline.
Yeah.
So you can only imagine that when the events of what inspired of their deaths, she's kind of upset.
Oh, yeah.
She actually would go on to hold several rallies about their after the SLA was finished. At one rally, she stated they were viciously attacked and murdered by 500 pigs in Los Angeles while the whole nation watched. Mm. Well, I believe that Jelena, which was Angela Atwood,
okay,
and her comrades fought until the last minutes, which they did.
Yeah.
And though I would like to have her with me here right now, I know that she lived happy and she died happy. Yeah, I don't know if being burnt alive is dying happy.
Yeah, I would say probably not the happiest she's ever been.
Yeah, I don't think so. But
she's not in like a state of bliss.
Yeah, not at all. And in that sense, I'm so very proud of her. SLA soldiers, I know it is not necessary to say, but keep on fighting. I'm with you, and we are with you. And she also said that Angela Atwood was a truly revolutionary woman, among the first white women to fight so righteously for their beliefs and to die for what they believe in. So, that's her words.
Well, there you go.
Well, Catherine Solia.
I was listening.
Oh, so, well, Catherine Solia, let's say that, what job do you think she would have at this moment?
Catherine Solia?
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't really picture her having any kind of job.
She was working at a bookstore.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So while she's working at a bookstore, a person comes up to her that she doesn't really recognize, but she does recognize her voice. It's Emily Harris.
Okay.
And she asked her for help. She said, "Hey, I really need help." And she helped out. She got her the hideout that we mentioned earlier in inside of Scranton, Pennsylvania via Jack Scott. And she also secured them birth certificates of dead infants.
Oh, yeah, God.
I always want to know how people got like fake identification and stuff like that. So that's really cool that's how people got fake identification. At least back in those times was from dead infants.
Yeah, that's real cool and not creepy at all.
Oh, whatever. All right.
So, again, we know all the story. They go to Pennsylvania. They don't give the guy their book that they were supposed to be writing. So he sends them back to California. So now they're back in California, and now they're being hidden by Kathleen Solia once again. Now, okay. It is said that the Harrises kind of pretty much had gotten kind of their own place. They had kind of gotten their own little spot. But Kathleen Solia and Patty Hearst actually kind of made a little bond.
Okay.
And it is said that Patty Hearst at some point started dating Kathleen's brother, Steve Solia.
Dang, Patty.
Yeah.
So, she's just like finding love wherever she is. Looking for love in all the wrong places.
So everybody starts becoming a group. They start what now is known by the media again as the SLA, even though they were never part of the SLA. They're now known as the SLA.
It's like SLA 2.0.
SLA 2.0. Let's say that they're an actual slaw.
Yeah.
And other people at SLA, we're just going to call these people slaw.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah.
So in the slaw, we have Kathleen Solia, James Kilgore, which is her boyfriend, Steve Solia, which is Kathleen's brother,
and Patty Hearst's boyfriend.
Patty Hearst's boyfriend, Patty Hearst. Then we have the Harrises, Emily Harris and Bill Harris. And we have a guy named Mike Borton.
It's like How I Met Your Mother, but with an extra single guy.
That's best way to explain it, honestly.
Yeah.
So they decided they're going to get some vengeance back for their fallen members.
And but how are they going to do that?
First, they need some money.
Uh-huh.
They decide not to do the Domino Freeze route of stealing parking meters. They decide to go back to doing bank robbery.
Okay. That's honestly, the parking meters is a better idea.
Definitely because of what happens later on.
Mm-hmm.
But on April 21st, 1975, so not 420. They missed 420 by a single day.
Yeah.
So they decided to rob the Crocker National Bank in Carmichael, California.
Okay.
So inside the bank, for what details we get is that Patty Hearst is riding the Switch getaway car.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Harris is riding the getaway car for the bank. So all Switch right. getaway car is the car that everybody piles into after they get some distance away from the cops, so then the cops don't know they're in that car.
Okay, so it's like the second. Okay, you're in the initial one and then you get in the next one, so they're not onto you anymore.
Yes.
Okay.
So Patty Hearst is driving the Switch car. So inside the bank, from what we get is James Kilgore, Kathleen Solia, Steve Solia, and Emily Harris.
Okay.
And Mike Borton.
Okay.
So it is said, and these accounts vary, but it is said that Emily Harris has a shotgun that a lot of them told her that she needed to just go ahead and not go in with that shotgun.
Oh, okay. And I'm taking it she doesn't listen to them.
She doesn't listen to them. The shotgun had accidentally fired off twice before.
Oh, yay.
So when they go in to ride the bank, Emily Harris, now, from Bill Harris' testimony, Emily Harris did not do any of the criminal activity before in the actual SLA.
Uh-huh.
That the bank robbery and all this stuff, she wasn't actually there. It's not that she wasn't there, but she was in the getaway cars doing this stuff. She wasn't actually there handling a gun.
Yeah.
He said this is the first time that she actually truly handled a gun. So when they get into the bank, they're yelling at everybody to get on the ground, you know, don't look up, all these things.
Classic bank robbery jargon.
But the thing is that Emily Harris shotgun at some point discharges and hits a 42-year-old woman.
Oh, crap.
By the name of Amina Opsal.
Okay.
She is a mother of four children.
Oh.
Her husband was a doctor at the local hospital, which will, if you get into the documentary about this, it's really sad because there was like her husband was like trying to operate her on her for, you know, trying to save her life.
Yeah.
At the hospital. So really sucks. And it is said that she was actually at the bank depositing money for the church.
And I'm just guessing that she does not make it.
No, she's killed.
Oh,
this dude wears my killer, Haley.
I know. I was hoping for a miracle. People have already died.
Too many people. Way too many people. So again, Slaw. I would say this is the dumbest murder of all the murders that have happened in this episode. Yeah. This is the dumbest. This is the most senseless murder. I know Marcus Foster's murder was stupid, was very stupid. But this woman has nothing to do with your political.
Yeah.
It's your political war here. It's just really sad.
Oh, it's so sad. It's incredibly sad.
It's incredibly sad. So they get away. They get away with it. They get out the bank, get away with it at the time. So, August 21st, 1975. Police are at an IHOP.
At an IHOP?
They're at an IHOP. International House of Pancakes.
Okay.
So they leave an IHOP, and as they leave the IHOP, they get in the car, drive off. And as they drive off, at some point, they look on the ground and see right where they parked at is a device. So they kind of get out the car. They kind of see what device was underneath their car.
Yeah.
And they figure out it's a bomb.
Oh, God.
Yes, it is a bomb that was actually set to detonate whenever the car, whenever their police car moved. But interesting enough, from what I've seen in the documentary, was that it was really crazy how this bomb was made.
Yeah.
It was made with a magnet holding these two positive negative switches connected to each other.
Yeah.
And when the magnet moved, it was supposed to then make the switches come together. Mm. And that will be what detonated the bomb.
Yeah.
But when the magnet moved, for some reason, the switches did not come together. Like, one didn't move or something like that. So the switches didn't come together.
Ooh.
And that's the only reason why the bomb did not go off.
Thank goodness.
And, yes, thank goodness, because a police officer said that right by their police car was, like, a little girl.
Yeah.
So that little girl would have most likely been dead with the police car.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bunch of shattered glass and stuff like that. No telling who would have been also hurt inside the IHOP as well.
Yeah.
So this could have hurt a crap ton of people.
Absolutely. That would have been terrible. Thank goodness it didn't happen.
Well, then a mile away at the L.A. Police Department, police look at what is a bomb underneath another police car.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of figure out that this is the work of the Slaw.
Oh, okay.
So, from what I hear, their plan was, again, this is all testimony from Bill Harris, who spoke in the documentary. He said they planted a bomb, one in the front of the police office in the Los Angeles, the police department, and one underneath the police mm-hmm. car to get as many casualties as they can. The bomb underneath the police car is supposed to go off first for then the police to start running outside and see the commotion. And then as they ran outside, the bomb at the door of the of the LAPD mm-hmm. was supposed to go off to kill as many other people that's running out the door.
And this was supposed to get them money or do some sort of political thing?
Well, they wanted to attack the LAPD for the loss of the SLA.
Okay.
So they, now that they're honoring the SLA by bombing the LAPD.
Okay.
Which, the bombs did not go off, so don't worry, no casualties at all, nobody injured at all.
Yeah. Nice, nice job on that revenge, guys.
So right now, only casualty is a mother of four.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, innocent person, LAPD, not really doing the thing, not really doing what y'all want to.
Not doing at all what they wanted to. Ooh. Actually doing the opposite of what they wanted.
Yeah.
So, at this point, when you start messing with the LAPD and trying to do bombs,
that your goose is cooked. Your time is pretty much up.
Yeah, now you're kind of getting focused on a lot now, even more heavy.
Yeah.
So, at one point, it is intriguing to say that they kind of eventually found, I can't remember exactly how they eventually found where they was hiding at, but they kind of found out where Solia was hiding at. I believe that they had found it via her sister.
Okay.
Where they was at, in the apartment they was in. So they kind of find the apartment they're in, and they're trying to find evidence. How can we break into the apartment? Because right now we don't really have evidence enough to say that we can go into the apartment.
Yeah.
Well, they then talk to actually somebody from the, somebody, I can't remember exactly who, but it was from the television, and they found out that, electricity okay. people. And they was finding out that they was actually doing illegal power wiring.
Mm.
They illegally wired their power to go to then another house about a block away.
So, like, stealing electricity?
Yes.
Okay.
So, the police then sit outside of those two houses. And at one point, the police see a man walk out the door mm-hmm. of that house. And he's walking to the laundromat. And the police officer recognizes that it is Bill Harris.
Ooh, okay, yay, we're getting to the good stuff.
Yes. So Bill Harris says that when he is in the laundromat, he's there by himself pretty much. And he says that he sees a guy in a clean cut suit comes in. So he said at that point, he kind of made out that it was an FBI guy. He said he tried to work his way out the door, but then he got snatched up. So, with him snatched up, they then break into that house. They find Emily Harris.
Mm.
Now, they then go into the Solia house. And at the Solia house, they find Patty Hearst and Wendy Yoshimura sitting at a table.
Oh my gosh.
Now, for what I hear next, and the FBI agent also, he clarified it, but I think that this was not the, I don't think this is police procedure of how to handle this.
Yeah.
At this point, Patty Hearst runs into the bedroom, and he says he can hear Patty Hearst kind of ruffling through things.
Yeah.
So he said he grabs Wendy and puts a gun to her head, and he tells Patty Hearst to come out or I'm going to shoot her head off.
Holy shit. Yeah, that is, that would not fly today.
Would not fly.
No.
Well, Patty Hearst comes out, and he said when the police went into the bedroom, he said, dude, she was getting some guns.
I'm sure she was. He said
that bedroom was full of guns. And he said that luckily this happened like it did because he said they could definitely out, they definitely outarmed us.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
So now the gang's arrested.
Yeah.
Everybody's now going to jail.
Yeah.
Well, it said when Patty Hearst first goes to jail, she writes that her occupation is urban guerrilla, which goes down on the record books is one of the, you know, the top things.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the arrest happened on, I don't think I mentioned it. Oh, September 18th, 1975. So,
okay.
About a little less than a month later after the bombings.
Yeah.
After the bombings. So, yeah, that tells you that they'll try to bomb the FBI. They don't play about
it. No.
Killing mothers of four, you might could get away for a while.
Don't try to bomb us. Just... because we'll find you.
You're going to get fouled at that point. So, yeah. Well, this is when we start getting the simple case of Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Or brainwash.
Yeah.
Dr. Margaret Singer, who is a person that I am not a fan of from his story, she's historically pretty bad.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Margaret Singer is, she's kind of one of the people that goes down in history as a great person because she's one of the first people to advocate for abortion and things like that, or the pill, as it's called.
So wait, was it just one or the other? Or was it both?
Well, it's for the pill, for contraception, pretty much.
Oh,
but she wanted it for urban communities, law of poverty communities,
mm-hmm.
but not for the reasons that people think. It's because she really thought that like. The people that lived in poverty, much as black people and minorities, she felt that they should not procreate.
Oh, yeah, that ain't good.
I had the mind to procreate.
Yeah, like up until like that, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, good, good, good. And then it's like, oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, she was very racist. So I'm not a fan of Margaret Singer. But they got her to look at Patty Hearst. And she said that Patty Hearst had lost a lot of weight and had also lost her IQ.
She lost her what?
IQ. She had lost quite a bit on her IQ. Okay. I think her IQ was like 125, and then it was like 97, okay. I think it was. So it was like, yeah, and she lost like 30 points of IQ.
Dang.
Yeah. So... We're not going to cover Patty Hearst because go into whatever podcast you want.
Yeah, they'll cover her.
They'll cover all of that. She had F. Lee Bailey as her attorney at one point, and he's always an interesting guy. He's on a documentary. He still said he puts it with Patty Hearst's brainwashed, even though he doesn't like Patty Hearst.
Yeah.
For good reason, Patty Hearst kind of tries to denounce him and say that he was an idiot and stuff like that, but it's really interesting because he really doesn't like Patty Hearst. Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. She's not in jail. She didn't go to jail.
Oh, she did, actually.
She did!
She actually receives 7 years in prison.
Oh. How much of that did she serve?
How much of that did she serve, you may ask? She served 22 months.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
As she was released by Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
By President Jimmy Carter.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she had a judge who actually died, and then another judge came on there, and he said that all because you were brainwashed doesn't mean that your crimes should not be held accountable for. So,
dang.
It's 70 years.
That's a good judge.
Yeah. I mean, 7 years isn't... I mean... God, they murdered people. Yeah. And tried to bomb people.
Yeah, she tried to kill people, tried to bomb people.
So 7 years isn't a lot, but I mean.
Not a lot of time, but the fact that he was like, yeah, that the excuses.
You get time.
Yeah, you're getting time is still something.
Yeah, something. So yeah, so she does 22 months, then gets pardoned. Now, get into it. She didn't. Falls in love with one of her security guards and is married to him and all that good old story. So you can get into that. You can get into the part where she said she was raped by Willie Wolf, but then she has all these emblems and stuff she had kept from her dating Willie Wolf and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, okay, you say that you was right when you was like, you know, you was all in love with her, but you know. So we're not gonna get into the part of what all that would Patty Hearst.
Yeah.
Because like I said, the story is so much more than Patty Hearst.
And the Patty Hearst portion's been covered so many times.
It's like his story is so much more than her. Like her end does not even equate for a quarter of the story.
Yeah.
I mean, we barely covered Patty Hearst, and we have 5 episodes.
So. Pretty much.
So, with that said, let's get it to Bill and Emily Harris instead.
Yes.
The last remaining members of the SLA. So, they got sentenced to 8 years for the kidnapping of Patty Hearst.
Okay.
While in prison, Emily Harris actually begins learning how to program computers.
Oh, that's a good thing to do while you're in prison.
And yes, when she gets out of prison, she starts a company as a computer consultant.
Dang.
She actually works with MGM Studios.
She really turned herself around.
And she divorced Bill Harris
mm-hmm.
and went on to date a woman.
Wow, Emily.
So Emily Harris turned herself around.
Good for you, Emily.
Let's say Bill Harris didn't turn too far off himself.
Ooh.
He got married and had 3 kids himself.
Good for you, Bill.
So right now the story's going pretty well.
Yeah. Right? And you know what? Well, I think now would be a good time to take a quick break and come back to reconvene.
Okay, because you know how we do on this podcast. We never have happy endings.
Exactly.
All right. See you, Lisa.
All right.
All right. So you might notice the absence of a few characters in these things here.
I have.
So you notice the absence of a few characters, Kathleen Salea and James Kilgore.
Yeah.
So the reason why they're absent is because they went on the run.
Okay. Well, you know, eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking.
That's exactly what Kathleen did.
Yeah.
So Kathleen Salea decides to go on a run on February 1976.
Gotcha. Do you think that you could last on the run, Kip?
I am on the run right now, actually.
You are?
Yeah, I'm trying to stay away from being locked down by your heart.
Wow. dang, I wish you would have told me that earlier.
I thought you was going to like that one.
I do. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't have played along.
Okay. Well, she decides to change her name to Sarah Jane Olson.
Okay.
So the reason why she changed it is because she decided to move to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And Olson is actually the Smith of Minnesota, interesting enough.
Okay.
Because of the Scandinavian heritage that blesses the state of Minnesota so much.
Wow. Is that why they're so nice?
I guess so, yeah.
So, dang.
Olson is the Smith of Minnesota, so she decided just to be a regular person.
Okay.
She actually,
did she then give birth to 2 twin girls?
Well, what do you go? Oh, because of Twin Lakes?
No.
Where are you going to sing words? Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen.
Yeah.
Get it? Oh, if you don't think that some Hollywood's going to come play back into the story, you might be mistaken.
Okay.
Come on. We had some... Come on, you know some appearances we've had here.
I know.
So, she actually decides to break up at some point with James Kilgore.
Okay.
And at 1980, she marries a physician by the name of Gerald Frederick Peterson.
Wow.
It has 3 daughters.
1 girl and then 2 twin girls?
You're still going for the Olsen.
Well, you have Mary Kate and Ashley, and then you have the youngest, which is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Oh, good old Elizabeth. Love me some Scarlet Witch.
Oh, I know.
So at one point, they actually settled down in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
As Fred was a missionary, was working as in a missionary, British missionary group in Zimbabwe as a doctor.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah.
And when they moved back to then St. Paul, Minnesota, Sarah Jane Olsen decided to take up acting.
Okay.
So she got back into acting all over again.
Wow. You know, there we go.
So she got into community theater. And she also helped with social issues in the community.
That's great.
So she's doing it, man.
Living a good life is Sarah Jane Olsen.
She was doing it up. I mean, can you say how awesome that is?
I mean, it's pretty awesome.
She's on a run. She's like literally just like going this place, that place,
thriving.
She is like super thriving on the run here.
Yeah.
She has a family.
I'm assuming that this is not going to last forever, though.
Not so much.
Mm.
Because of something that... I'm upset because I can't find this episode.
Yeah.
But do you remember the famous show? There was once a famous show on television.
Uh-huh.
By the name of America's Most Wanted.
I knew you were going to say America's Most Wanted. Yes.
Well, on March 3rd in 1999 and May 15th of 1999, they aired the episode that, you know, kind of said, this is one of the most wanted criminals, Kathleen Solia. And somebody in her neighborhood saw that and said, I know that person.
That looks an awful lot like Sarah Jane.
Sarah Jane Olsen. So I gave her a tip and please pick up Sarah Jane Olsen.
Oh, no.
Yes. Well, with the arrest of Sarah Jane, caused a whole new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting enough, she kind of played into it at first. She didn't understand how serious this was.
Yeah.
So on June 16th, 1999, she was arrested. And at some point while she is incarcerated, she released a cookbook called Serving Time, America's Most Wanted Recipes.
Oh my God. Is this book like, can I still get this book?
Oh, I should look it up if you see if you can get the book.
Yeah.
Oh, let me look it up real quick. All right. We'll look this up.
I want to make you some of America's Most Wanted Recipes.
Oh, let's see. It is on Amazon. $40?
That's kind of expensive, but I would say it's almost worth it.
$40?
Wow. Yes.
Let's see here. Google Books might have it a little bit cheaper.
Uh-huh.
Nope, I don't see it on Google Books, actually. Maybe you might can get it out off Google Books without actually looking for it.
Hmm.
Let's see. Amazon's the only place I've seen it. There's another guy that tried to play on the title, but his name's Ron Douglas. Shame on you for not being creative, Ron Douglas, you asshole.
Damn, Ron. Think of your own thing.
But on October 31st, Halloween of 2001, she pled guilty to two counts of possessing explosives with intent to murder. This then brings into a whole new world of shit. Because then she tells the media that she was not guilty. She was innocent. But because, can you think of what would happen around that date to make you plead guilty to something if you're innocent? Definitely when it comes to explosives. I'll give you a hint. It's Halloween 2001.
Think maybe of a 9/11? I don't know.
Yes, 9/11.
Okay. What?
You're on trial for being a terrorist, and one of the biggest terrorist things in history have happened in America. You're not going to get a free, you're not going to get a fair trial. There's no fucking way in hell. There's no fucking way in hell. I don't care who they put on that jury. You're not getting a fair trial. Ooh. And that's not to say she's innocent, but she's not wrong. Not to say she's innocent, but she's not wrong.
Yeah. You might be guilty, but you're also not wrong.
But the judge said, you know what? Fuck that. This judge went fuck that. He went like super like hardcore rapper. He was like, nah, fuck that. Get out of jail. Bring her back here. Fuck that. So November 13th, he was like, fuck that. Come back. All right. You think you're innocent? Didn't fucking prove that you're innocent then.
All right. If you won't come, come correct what you got for me.
She requested a withdrawal of her plea instead.
Okay.
And doesn't really work too well for her. She gets sentenced then to 10 years to life terms for the crime. Wow. You might be going, well, somebody died in this episode. And we have not heard anything about that person getting, anybody getting charged for that right now. Yes. Interesting enough, at the time, forensic evidence couldn't plant them and was what would they need would to be able to plant them, inside the bank for the murder. And that didn't come about till after this arrest happened. So then they finally could plant them in the bank for the murder. So on January 16th, 2002, remember how Emily Harris and Bill Harris were living a really nice life?
Yeah.
They instead get arrested. Michael Bolton also gets arrested. And Sarah Jane Olson is again charged with, and James Kilgore are charged with the murders of Marna Olson. Yes. Interesting enough, while they're getting arrested, a year before this, remember Patty Hearst?
Yeah.
She was getting pardoned a year before this on January 20th, 2001.
Are you kidding by Bill me? She should not have gotten pardoned.
Yes, she got pardoned. Those crimes are not on record anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Those crimes are not on a record. But as a famous quote goes, Pepper's Farms remembers. We remember Patty Hearst.
Yep. I don't know how that's famous, but it's true.
What? Pepper's Farm, remembers?
Oh, Pepper's Farm. It kind of cut out a little bit.
Oh, okay. Pepper's Forum remembers.
Oh yeah, I do remember.
Everybody knows. So they all charged for the murder. And on November 7th, they all plead guilty to second-degree murder. And each received 6 years in prison. Mm-hmm. And this has to really, really suck. I understand that somebody got killed. At the same time, y'all had to charge that when they got killed in the 70s, man.
Yeah.
You can't charge them 30 years later, man.
They got to live a whole life.
I mean, literally, Emily Harris was picked... I mean, Bill Harris was picked up in front of his kids, and his kids like, what? Mm-hmm. Why is he getting arrested?
Yeah.
His kids didn't know that he was in the SLA. Yeah. His kids wasn't around for
his
it.
Kids probably didn't even know what the heck the SLA was.
His kids wasn't around. He was just they were getting arrested, and I was like, what?
What the
heck? I mean,
heck?
Sarah Jane Olsen's kids are like, yeah, that wasn't my mom.
Yeah.
She wasn't part of SLA. Kathleen Solia was part of SLA. She wasn't part of SLA, dude.
Yeah.
James Kilgore was in Africa, actually, at the time. He was picked up in Africa.
Wow.
So, I mean, all these people are living different lives now. So, to add insult to injury. So, she's given all this time, right? Sarah St. Jane Olsen.
Yeah.
At one point, her sentence of 14 years, they narrowed down to that she's going to do 14 years in prison. Plus the 6-year sentence added on for the murder. So around 20 years. So at some point, a judge rules that you can throw out that 14-year sentence. That this 14-year sentence, that shouldn't even be a thing anymore. Just give it a 6-year sentence. And then another board then brings back the 14-year sentence all
the
over
board.
Again. So, God, I mean, Sarah Jane Olsen, she has to be like, what the fuck? I committed crimes back in the 1970s, and y'all are like, I'm going to be out. I'm not going to be out. I'm going to be out. I'm not going to be out. So I bet she's like, whoever that person was, that anonymous tip that called in, you're the hugest asshole.
Yeah. I would be pissed if I were her.
Oh, God. All right, so March 17, 2008.
She gets released.
She is released from prison.
Yay!
So for 5 days, she lives in Palmdale, California with her parents. And it says she likes to go, she went to go hiking with her husband during that time.
So her husband stayed with her?
Yes.
Her husband stayed with her. Oh, that's great.
But on March 21st, 2008, she's rearrested.
Why?
Because the parole board made a mistake.
How did they make... Oh, my God.
Seriously, at least a year early.
That makes me really mad. That actually makes me really mad.
Yeah.
Like, y'all made the mistake, not her. Let her go.
Oh, man. Sarah Jane Olsen. I feel bad for her. She's still
alive. Me too.
Sarah Jane, we love you here on this podcast.
Man, I tell you what, if that would, if I, ooh.
Who runs this prison system? Donna DeFreeze? Why the fuck is this?
Yeah, like, seriously. they should have let her go and fired everyone on that damn parole board.
But, again, a year later, she's finally released. So now she's free. And
good.
We're going to guess that she's living a very, you know, non-criminal lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, in 2011, something really special happens for Sarah Jane Olsen.
Uh-huh.
She gets to see her daughter compete on American Idol.
What?
Her daughter of 20, her 28-year-old daughter, Sophia Sarai.
Okay.
Sarai. Maybe it's Sarai.
Uh-huh.
Competed on American Idol.
Oh, my goodness. Did she get very far?
I don't know that part. I never watched American Idol, so I don't really know. I could look it up, but
I'll look it up later.
I thought it was cool.
That is really cool.
Okay, she's been on American Idol.
Dang.
So, let's see here. She was placed in the Las Vegas round. She sung Ashley Sullivan's We Can Work It Out. And she also sung Ray Charles' Georgia on My Mind.
Mm.
But her audition was not televised, though.
Okay.
She must didn't go far because it says her audition wasn't televised.
Okay.
What? She could beat an American Idol. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you can actually look up her music. Sophia Sarai music.
That's really cool.
.com. Well, she has a version of Bob Dylan's Forever Young.
Mm.
Which you can get on iTunes, which I don't think that's a thing anymore, right? iTunes?
So
you might need to get that re-updated.
Can one still get stuff on iTunes? Yes.
I thought he shut down iTunes. Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't think if you can stream something, why would you want to buy music?
I swear I thought they shut down iTunes. But I'm not sure.
You can still go on there. You can get like audio. You can get everything you used to get, but it's definitely not as used.
Oh, but she does have some things that, okay, so I do see another website about her. I guess that might be an old website, because there's another website, and she talks about the COVID-19 and all that stuff.
Mm.
So check her out. See how she is. Maybe we can get her to Music City. Get her famous, maybe. So then we can cover her on That's It.
Exactly.
That'd be a cool, this would be a cool episode.
That'd be quite a crossover.
So, with that said, my last little snippet about the slaw part of DSLA to add to this, to try to make it even more interesting and just kind of just lead us off on a more what the fuck note.
Yeah.
Because I said, I'm going to try to top parking meters. I'm going to try real hard to top parking meters.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that this can do it.
Okay.
So, remember James Kilgore?
Yes.
He was Kathleen Solia's boyfriend. He was on the run for a while. Bomber and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you wonder what he's doing now.
What is he doing now?
He's now Jim Kilgore, or James William Kilgore. And he is a scholar.
He's a scholar?
He's a scholar.
Of what?
He is a research scholar for the Center of African Studies and Global Studies at the University of Illinois. Yes, he's a professor at the University of Illinois.
Imagine him being your professor. I mean, like, I was a part of the SLA.
Come on. Please tell me that I can top parking meters. Please.
So the logic of it kind of does. However, the logistics of someone stealing a parking meter, just the simple act of doing that, I will never get.
I mean, he's professor at a very prestigious university.
I mean, that's insane. I mean, I said they were even.
He was a terrorist.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
That's crazy to think. That's crazy to think of.
That's insane.
I mean, he was a terrorist less than 20 years ago, or maybe about 20 years ago. He was still on the run.
That's crazy. I bet people will go out of their way to take his class, though.
Well, it's been. I mean, they had this real big like petition to get him fired and all that stuff when he first got hired there.
Wow.
Had a big petition to get him fired, but you know, he's still there.
Well, petitions and don't always work, people.
I want to ask my cousin, has he taken his class or if he knows him? Because my cousin was a graduate of the Illinois.
Ooh.
And now he works there now. He's actually a professor there now.
Holy crap. Yeah, you need to ask him.
I have not talked to that cousin in so long, but I kind of want to message him. He doesn't do any social media at all. I don't have his phone number. He's on Facebook, but he only like gets on there to post like
random stuff.
He probably would be a part of the SLA if it was still around.
Oh,
because he like posts like a lot of like social injustice stuff.
Okay,
but he only posts it like every now and then.
Okay,
and he holds like rallies and stuff like that.
Well, that's your choice.
Well, I know, but that's not a bad thing. Holding rallies and it's supposed about social injustice isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it is, but
it's where you get to the criminal fact of you're killing mother of four people.
Oh yeah, that's mother terrible.
That's when it gets bad. I mean, is what the SLA, what their purpose was bad? No, not really.
The way they went about it.
And it's because you had an idiot at Dom DeFreeze who was just a lifetime criminal.
Yeah.
As your leader.
True. And I think, you know, there's a happy place of someone's beliefs and the way that works. I think they took it a little too far.
Yeah. I can agree with you. They took it a little too far, but I would say this. Of all the cults we have one covered, which we haven't really covered that many cults, mm-mm, but we'll cover more cults, people. Don't worry. We'll cover more cults as the seasons go on. But all the cults that we have covered, the cults I've researched, I would think this would be probably one of the cults I would be in the most of any of them.
Mm.
I would say.
Okay.
All the dead if the boozing barber, Gilbert Paul Jordan, developed a cult where all you did was just get drunk as you could possibly can, I would join that cult.
I believe that.
I miss Gilbert Paul Jordan. He's my serial killer spirit animal for anybody that, my spirit serial killer for anybody that's new to this podcast. Spirit serial killer. Who would be your spirit serial killer? I don't think you have one.
I don't think I have one either.
I really want to look into it and see who could be a spirit serial killer.
I don't think I have one.
I'm going to look into it. There's got to be one.
I don't think
there's got to be one person out there. There's a serial killer for everybody out there.
Whatever you say.
So that's it. This is the end of the SLA. And yes, we could have made this until, you know, like a 10-part series, you know, got it really in depth into the Patty Hearst things and all that stuff. But I just really wanted to cover the SLA. And two, I think 5 episodes is good enough. This is the most we've ever covered of a single person. Of a single, well, not person, group, really.
Yeah.
Sure. I think 5 episodes.
I think 5 episodes is fine. I mean, this was great, very entertaining. I'm excited to move on to other stuff too.
Yeah, I'm excited too because I got a lot of stuff covered, including a very special episode that I was gonna do something next week for this episode, but I think now I want to do the special episode because I just came up with it yesterday on the way home.
I
seeing you.
I'm excited about that.
I'm like, oh my god, this episode will be something terrorizing to Haley, and I love it.
Well, I'm so excited. Yay!
So, with that said, Haley, shit happened.
Shit did happen.
Okay.
Great shit.
So great shit happened.
We got to go on a date yesterday.
Our first date in a while.
Yeah, our first date in a really long time.
Yeah, I got to go on a date yesterday. You know, we just hung around. We just hung out, ate some pizza.
Mm-hmm.
We did the best to not get COVID-19 while not also spreading COVID-19.
Yes, I think we did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so, I kept telling Mom, I was like, we had the best time.
Oh, that's great. Hey. I'm happy you enjoyed
it. I did.
I enjoyed it a lot. And it was all your idea, really.
It kind of was.
Hmm? Well, besides that, how do we top that? Because that's a pretty good top, by the way. For people that don't know, we are the first couple of True Crime, by the way.
Could you repeat that? It cut out again.
Okay, sorry. I was just telling people at home we are the first couple of True
Crime.
This
is true. We are.
Yeah. How are our tops looking like that? Again, I went home, saw my mom, really love her a lot, went to Jacksonville, had a fun time seeing my brother in Jacksonville, mm-hmm. First time seeing him in a while, so that was really cool, you know, went to Jacksonville, went home, saw mom, you know, really joked around with my mom a lot, mm-hmm. she's hilarious, I wish she would do the podcast, because she's hilarious herself. And she's into true crime, so I mean, she's really into true crime. Like, I'm into true crime, but I don't watch like the documentaries,
yeah,
and stuff like that. She watched the documentary,
yeah.
So,
well,
she's a little bit. I would say she's more into true crime than me. I just really like the history of it because I'm a history guy.
Yeah.
So I really love the history of it more than anything.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's my big thing.
Yeah.
Before shit happened.
I don't really have a ton of shit happen. The shit that happened other than going on the date with you.
Yeah, that. You know, getting physically fit is another thing that has been happening. Mm-hmm. I've been really working out, and I feel like I'm getting more in shape.
I will remark on that and say I can definitely notice a difference, especially with your arms.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. I've tried to work on my stomach, but I just can't get it done. Abs are just not for me.
And that's okay.
Granted, it's because I eat way too much, but I figured that my thing is that my diet for me is protein,
mm-hmm.
is getting as much protein as possible. Mm-hmm.
I think that if you, and I've said this to you before, I think if you cut out carbs, like no more breads or stuff like that, you would notice a difference.
But I love breads too much, so I just can't do it.
Yeah, you're not one for cutting food out.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that I'm just going to do the opposite and cut food in, but work out a lot more.
Okay.
Which is the Rock diet, I would say. I'm just going to call it the Rock diet, because the Rock does it himself.
Dang. Well,
yeah, The Rock, if you don't know, he eats like I think he said around 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day.
Oh, my God.
He eats a lot a day, but he just works out constantly. So that's why he looks as good as he does.
Yeah.
So I just said, I'm just going to do what The Rock does and eat not bad food. Just eat food that is like, you know, eat
that you like
protein. Eat, you know, chicken, pasta, stuff like that. But just work out so then it's going to your muscles and not going to your stomach.
Okay, I get it.
I think that's the best way to go about it.
You know, if it works for The Rock, I'm sure it'll work for other people out there.
Who knows? Hey, you said if you see it in my arms.
Yeah,
so
definitely good. Who is it that, I think it was Michael Phelps that said he, when he's like in training mode, or he was in training mode, he would eat like 10,000 calories a day.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey. Let's just see how, if I'm the strongest person to do podcasting. The strongest podcaster.
Wait, Joe Rogan's out there. You might not want to say that.
Oh, fuck. You're right. God damn it, Joe Rogan. And I can't kick his ass either because he's like fucking like legitly like a true badass. He like does like a black belt in like judo or something like
my,
that.
My uncle has a black belt in karate.
I know. You told me that. That's pretty cool. I have a green belt in jiu-jitsu. That's my call of fame right now.
I have no belts and anyone could whoop my ass.
Oh. Another shit happened is that I'm done with 90 Day Fiance.
Yeah.
I'm not done. I'm not done with it. But Stephanie, if you're out there and you listen to this podcast, fuck you, man. We don't need that listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you.
We need listens, but we don't need
that. Yeah, we don't need that listen. You can just move on.
You bet. But in all seriousness, I really love this. I really love this series. Again, I could do a whole just podcast series on the SLA, just straight up just the individual podcast on SLA. I just loved it that much. But, you know, God, it was just amazing.
I would agree. I would definitely agree.
And for everybody out there that likes the SLA or likes the podcast, definitely just tell us. Let us know how you felt about
it. Give us 5 stars. Write a good review.
I hope y'all feel like I covered it accurately and entertaining.
I don't know how they would feel any differently.
Because I did. I put my heart into this one. Definitely. I'm sure.
And everyone can tell.
Thank you. Well, with that said, next week we'll get into a new one.
Yes, we shall.
We should get into a new one. So I guess let's just call this
I just have one last thing to say.
What do you got to say?
Nice try, hairline.
And with that said, I got to say, Marguerite, you're beautiful and we love you, okay, Marguerite? You're beautiful.
Yeah.
We love you.
You're special.
All right, with that said, we're out of here.
Bye, everybody. Bye.